This is Justin with a quick note before today's episode. Thank you, thank you, thank you to those of you who have helped with our pledge drive. That is a pledge drive not about money, but it is about paying this forward by giving a review on Apple Podcasts for Beyond the Uniform. We have gotten 12 reviews since we just started this program a few weeks ago. Thanks to Jason, to Dale, to Delaney, to Josh, to so many more of you. A lot of them are usernames, so it's hard to call you out by name. But thank you so much for participating. Our goal by the end of 2018 is to get from our current 94 reviews to 150. It is a very lofty goal, and you can help us by giving a quick review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Same thing, just Google iTunes, Beyond the Uniform, and you'll find a link to leave a review. Thanks and enjoy today's episode. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help military veterans thrive in their civilian career. Today's episode number 221 with Shireen Griffith.
I think the stigma finally will die out, and the benefits will come through. Because, I mean, really, it's just like alcohol prohibition. Just 100 years later, it's like reliving old history for us.
The cannabis industry is absolutely exploding. In recent interviews, I've talked with veterans in the cryptocurrency and blockchain space, as well as the cybersecurity space. Each of these industries seem to attract people who are passionate about the product or service and are very mission-driven. Well, in today's interview, we talk about a very different industry that shares these same two characteristics, and that is the marijuana industry. We talk about working in a stigmatized industry, how unique this field is given the current legislative environment, and how it's not just an industry filled with stoners. There are legitimate operators, investors, and business people. And we talk about why military veterans should consider making this part of their career path. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you will find over 220 episodes just like this, not quite like this, but similar. And you'll also find a link to our coaching program where we pair you with a one-on-one subsidized professional coach to help you figure out your next career move. You'll also find links to everything we discuss and an offer for a free audiobook of your choice from audible.com. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Shireen. Well, joining me today in Santa Rosa, California, is Shireen Griffith. Shireen, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So maybe to start things off, if you were talking to someone on active duty, how would you explain to them what ConnaCraft is?
So ConnaCraft is California's largest manufacturer of cannabis products. So we have three different brands. One is Absolute Abstracts, and it does most of the vaporizers and the inhalables, and has a variety of different SKUs and terpenes and different things that you can use to have a THC and in some cases CBD experience. We have another brand called Care by Design, and it focuses mostly on CBD, so it's a lot more geared towards the medicinal side of things, such as soft gels with different levels of CBD and THC in it, or tinctures, and we also have some edibles like chocolates as well, and that's geared towards people who want the medicinal, just everyday benefits of it, or maybe somebody really legitimately has an ailment such as epilepsy or Alzheimer's or anything like that. And it really, we're finding it's helping a lot of people. And then Satori is another chocolate brand. It's an edible brand. And we bring in material, and we extract all the oils out, and we manufacture all the products from here. So we're at the end of the day, we're really just a manufacturing facility, but we have a very interesting product.
and your title is Vice President of Production. What does that translate to? Like, what does your day-to-day life look like?
This industry is a little bit less structured than some other ones. So I would love to say that I come in and we produce stuff and that's the end of the day, but there's so many more elements of learning what new regulations came about in California on that particular day and how we have to change production because of that particular regulation. Like maybe we have to put something else on the container, like a new warning or a new, a new governmental warning is usually the big one, or we have to have different type of containers because they want it to be childproof all of a sudden. These things happen on quite a change, on quite a frequent basis. So we come in, we do damage control, we put out a lot of fires, we may make some fires, but day to day we come in and again, it's really monitoring the supply chain of where the materials are coming from and making sure it gets produced and send it out the door in all in compliance with the regulations because it's very highly regulated.
And I want to come back. I've half a dozen questions about Cannacraft, but maybe let's just rewind a little bit. And I'd love to kind of have listeners learn a little bit more about your story getting to join Cannacraft. Could you maybe share first about when you left the military, what was that first job search like? And where did you go from the military?
So my first job search, and looking back, it was pure comedy now that I think about it. A headhunter scooped me up and he promised me the world and he sent me to a job fair and I had like maybe 20 interviews. None of them were anything that I wanted. However, I became a really good interview by the end of the day because I had a lot of practice because of it. Nothing came out of that because I didn't want to stay on the East Coast. And what I ended up doing is landing myself in the food industry. It actually translated really well because the military is pretty structured and has a lot of regulations. And I ended up on the food safety regulatory side of food, and they actually matched pretty well. So I've been in the food industry since then for about the past 10 years.
And I don't think I've actually had anyone on the show in the food industry, except for like a couple Chick-fil-A franchise owners and corporate people. Thoughts on that industry? If someone is interested in that, like what was your experience? You were at La Tortilla Factory and Chevu. What did you take away from those experiences?
Being in the food industry is really, really satisfying because at the end of the day, people are always going to need to eat. So you're always going to get a skill out of it that's really good. It's a manufacturing facility just like any other, but I think it has a lot more variety and a lot more places to go in future than just your everyday commodity that is like a plastic or a jar or something like that. It's you're actually making food and then you can see people make creations out of the foods that you make. And so it was a little bit more gratifying than any of the other commodities. And again, because there's a lot of regulations behind it, it transfers really well from the military. I think anyone who's looking to get out of the military wants something that has a little bit of structure, but a lot more fun, then the food industry isn't a bad place to start, I think.
That's awesome. And so, what led you to Cannacraft? Like, how did you hear about it and what caused you, because it seems like you were on this track where it was all about food, and I think that in many ways it sounds like some of the products that you work with are food, but like what led you to Cannacraft?
In this case, it had everything to do with my graduate program. I'm in a graduate program that's local here, and the director of that program at the end of last year abruptly left the California state system saying, I'm going to go be the CEO of this company, because the Cannacraft is at a state where the founders are absolutely amazing people, but they recognize the company was at a point where they needed a real CEO that, had a lot more business acumen instead of the old school cannabis business acumen, which is kind of like the Wild Wild West. We need a little bit more structure. But in the middle of this program, my director and I were having, a usual one-on-one, and he said, would you ever move away from food and maybe go to cannabis? Because I know someone who's looking for somebody who knows a lot about production. I said, really? Well, sign me up. And piece of the shoe, here I am. So it had a lot to do with the networking, the graduate school networking program. I mean, that had a lot to do with how I got here. It's been an interesting pivot so far.
Dwelling on the graduate program for a second, how, if someone listening wanted to go into the cannabis industry, How important do you think it is for them to go to a similar graduate program, or how necessary is it to have advanced education for that path?
You know, the cannabis industry is very network orientated, especially in California, because it lurked in the shadows for so long. So most of the industry was based on relationships where you either really trusted someone and you actually did business with them, or you didn't trust them and potentially got in trouble, maybe with regulatory agencies or whatnot. So a lot of it is who you know, but not to discourage the graduate programs, because what we're also seeing at the same time is this industry is exploding, not just in California, but also in every other state. It's getting more and more states are becoming legalized. A lot of VC investors are coming in. So it's actually becoming more business-like, in which case I would advocate, yes, do a graduate program so that you can get that business acumen to take this wild, wild, nascent industry that we're kind of trying to wrangle right now and turn it into real business going forward, because that's where the future is going.
That's great. And I know we chatted a little bit briefly before we started the recording, but one of the reasons I had reached out to you is I do view it, in my mind, it's almost like, you know, crypto is a space that's really exploded. Cannabis has exploded. I've had a couple interviews now in the cybersecurity space. In many ways, I think that that's like a space that's really exploding as well. But it's it just seems like Part of my thinking here is that let me back up to when I did these crypto interviews with vets in the crypto space. It's like when you have a space that's exploding, it's a new space, and that's where a veteran potentially has a significant advantage, because it's not like in the crypto space anyone has more than 3 or 4 years of experience. So, you know, someone coming straight out of the military, you're almost at like on equal footing in that space. And so, you know, when I reached out to you, I'm like, man, the cannabis space seems like that's just at the starting point of where the potential is. And, you know, every time I get together with my business school classmates from Stanford, like, we're all asking each other, like, okay, how much longer until the big consulting companies like McKinsey, Bain, and Boston Consulting Group are going to start getting into this, because there's so much money to be made. And I'm just wondering, what is that like to be in the in such an explosive space? And you kind of talked about this when you were talking about your day-to-day, but it's like, it just sounds like the regulations are being evolving as you're going, like things are being made up. It's just what is that like?
I had joked around with someone saying that my day-to-day kind of feels like I'm living the life of a cross between House of Cards and Veep or something like that. It's such an infant industry, and it's crazy in that you have a very fun, loving culture. That's one piece of the cannabis industry that's a lot different than food. Like, everyone who's in it is really passionate about the products. So the food industry, there's a good chance that, you know, maybe if you work in a big flour mill, you're not really the most passionate about making flour or wheat, you know, wheat flour. But the cannabis world, there's nobody is working in it that really believes in the product. You know, maybe they have a relative who got a really good benefit of it because they had cancer, or maybe they had Crohn's disease and are able to walk again or something like that. So everyone has a real, real heartfelt stake in it. That's unique to this one. And because it's such a, again, new and explosive environment, you have a lot of really, really passionate people who are gearing to make this industry work. What is lacking is, and this is where people like the veterans, which I think you were alluding to, come into play, is the structure and the procedures, and just something as simple as, okay, write out a plan of the day and stick to it. You know, something as simple as that is unheard of in these parts. And so that's where veterans definitely have a one up and can enter the space with confidence, so long as they also really believe in the product too. You got to be passionate about it in this industry.
That's interesting too, because that kind of came through in the couple of crypto interviews I did, which is it shares that
common sense of passion. Like everyone seems really passionate, not everyone, but a lot of people in the crypto space seem really passionate about what they're doing. And there's also kind of like this sense of mission oriented where, you know, a lot of these people I've interviewed believe in the power of crypto to change the world. And it sounds like too with cannabis, a lot of the people who have experienced the medical benefits and a lot of people who believe in that product share that sense of I don't know if like change the world is going too far, but it feels like, you know, this sense of a movement rather than just, you know, this is my job or this is this, you know, industry that's been around for centuries and is boring.
Yeah, and I agree. And I don't think change the world is quite the right word. I think it's definitely change of perception, though, because as much as we don't, I mean, the medical benefits we can go on and on about, but their perception of anything that has to do with cannabis is nothing but a Cheech and Chong show is still there. I mean, I fight it with even my own family members, and I'm in the industry myself. Mm-hmm. It's just the stigma has not gone away. And as it gets more legal across the United States and in Canada and other countries, I know Southeast Asia is doing a huge movement on cannabis right now. I think the stigma finally will die out, and the benefits will come through. Because I mean, really, it's just like alcohol prohibition, just 100 years later. It's like reliving old history for us.
That's incredible. I love that thought. It is like that wave of prohibition. And I'd love to just delve into that more. Like this stigma around it and what that's been like for you, but also how you got past that to seize what seems like a very big and only growing opportunity.
Yeah, and it's really all about educating people. I just ran an analytical report, and it turns out people who even use cannabis products don't even know that there's a difference between CBD and THC. So even cannabis users don't really know everything that they could know about it.
Could we just pause on that too? And because I just had an interview that with someone from Warfighter Hemp, which is a CBD product. But could you just maybe point out for listeners who aren't aware, what is the basic difference between CBD oil and THC, or just CBD and THC in general?
So I'm going to put it in super layman's terms so I don't go too technical. So the plant, when you extract some of the oils out, different strains of different plants will offer up different cannabinoids. And the CBD piece of it is the non-intoxicating cannabinoid oils, but they have a lot of really, really good health benefits. The THC is the one that's known to have some sort of intoxicating, different levels of intoxicating benefits. When they are used in combination with each other, depending on which ratio you choose, it could be very, very, very beneficial. Some people just like to use the THC, and that's probably your Cheech and Chong crowd. And hey, that's cool. have a good time. excuse me. And then there's others that have a CBD THC combination. Interestingly enough, we just had a speaker here at Cannacraft, and they're finding that. Also, if you can figure out which combination of CBD, THC, and conventional medicine for certain strains of you know, cancer or things, all three of them in conjunction with each other actually are like the super medicine that's really, really helping people. So this goes with the stigma and the research and not being able to do research in the United States because it's federally illegal. Just all kind of revolves around lifting that up and really diving into what these things can do for you. I'm sorry.
Awesome.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I apologize because I kind of derailed you when you were just starting to talk about the stigma part. But you were saying that you know, even a lot of people who use cannabis products don't even know that difference between THC and CBD. And so I'll let you kind of continue on that initial thread.
So knowing that even our own customers, our own hardcore customers at that, don't even really know that there's a difference between the chocolate bars that they're eating and they're getting. so it's the challenge for us, and especially our sales team in our industry, is really re-educating everybody. And that's our consumers. So now we have to take a step forward and start educating people who up until very recently wouldn't even think about using these products until it became legal in states like California and Colorado and in Washington and Oregon. Because what we found is a lot of people were coming, especially the older community. Now that it was legal, it didn't feel like they were doing anything wrong. So suddenly they're coming to dispensaries and saying, hey, can I try that pain cream? Hey, can I try that tincture? Because, you know, I have this elbow thing and it really hurts. But they need the most education out of everybody. So then, you know, you take that a step out to the people who are beyond those, bring them in the door and say, hey, there's this thing out there that could probably help you a little bit. And it's totally okay. It's just a plant.
That's awesome. It's, and I'm also wondering, you know, because this is not federally legal, that introduces just a lot of things that seem to be unique to this industry. And I'm not as well versed on this, but I know that it's cash only, and I'm just kind of curious, like, what are some like things that are unique to running a business in the cannabis space that might not be experienced in other industries?
Payroll's a good one. That's different every other Friday. And it's cash business, quite literally. Everybody gets an envelope full of cash. So that's one thing that's different. It's really, really difficult, and it's to the point where it's difficult, ridiculous difficult, because, you know, I'm trying to maybe buy some really high dollar machinery to help bring my efficiencies up, and I have to send somebody possibly with a briefcase across the country or maybe across the world to go do it. When really, why can't we just wire transfer it? It's just silly. And a lot of banks are starting to agree with us because they're starting to lobby for us, saying, hey, we're missing out on a really good opportunity here. We should probably change at least this part of the system. Because it is highly, highly difficult to have to do everything in cash.
Oh, man. And another thing I'd love to learn about is kind of the, I guess, like, lay of the land of, you know, let's say someone listening is on active duty and this is really appealing to them and they want to go into the cannabis industry. Is there, do you think of like the landscape in terms of like types of companies that they could join or maybe types of positions they might have? Or I'm just trying to break this down to them to give them something that they could go on and research of what might be a good starting point for them to get their foot in the door in this broad industry.
Absolutely. So this broad industry is again, I'm hoping that, you know, in a couple of years down the road, it's just going to be another manufacturing facility, just maybe like a food industry would be. And that if that's the case, it's a wide open door. Anybody who's interested in any sort of supply chain or operations, these places like Cannacraft are popping up all over the country. And I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. If you're into law, there's probably going to be a need for cannabis lawyers across the country. I'm thinking in the near future just to handle, you know, maybe mergers and acquisitions of different cannabis companies or moving eventually when things move across state lines or whatnot. I'm sure there's going to be a huge need for something like a law firm. And if you're the artistic type, there is nothing like marketing and design with the cannabis. They're a very creative group. So I think there's something for everybody in this landscape. Again, it's growing and it doesn't even know where its limits are yet. So anybody who's creative and wants to just dive into something and have a little bit of a leap of faith, then I think there's something in there for everybody.
That's great. I mean, that's such a great call on the lawyers too. It's like, I hadn't even thought of that angle of all the ancillary services that will be impacted by this. And, you know, it's interesting to see some companies, some companies focus on the vaporizers or the different, not tools, but different things that people will use with it. There's just like so many aspects that will be growing with this. And you know, one just random thought with that, the whole stigma piece. One of the authors that I really like, and I've actually heard her speak a couple times in San Francisco, there's this author, Mary Roach. And what Mary Roach writes about, like one of her most famous books is called Stiff, and it's a New York Times bestseller book. But Stiff was about cadavers. And she goes through all the different ways that people's bodies, once they've deceased, are used. And it's like just crazy stuff, like this FBI place where there's like a field where they'll literally bury bodies to see how they decay in different environments over time. And the point of all this is that she's done this again and again, and her thesis for writing books is she picks the subjects that everyone avoids, the things that just seem really touchy, and there's a lot of juice there. And that's one of the reasons I love the industry you're in. It's still, you know, right or wrong, there is a stigma around it. That means that a lot of people avoid it, which I just think means that there's a massive opportunity for people who are willing to dive in and get an early start like you are. And I just, I realize as we're recording this, you're in California, I'm in Colorado. Both places, you know, cannabis is legal. It's, you know, very much the same as beer and wine. And I realize that for many listeners, that's not the case, especially those of you who are on active duty. This is probably, you've built up this tolerance that it is something, you know, literally you're drug tested for. It is a highly forbidden thing. I think that for those of you who are interested in this field and get and can step past that perception, there's a significant opportunity.
Absolutely.
What about, are there any resources that you would recommend to listeners? If someone is interested in this field, is there a podcast or book or website or conference? Like where could they go to learn even more about this?
So if you are a total newbie on cannabis like I was, a really good, just really broad stroke, one is called the Cannabis Manifesto. And it really goes the history. It really goes to the history of cannabis through the eyes of Steve D'Angelo. I know there's some controversy around Steve D'Angelo, but I did plow through that book pretty fast. And I, having going from zero to needing to know everything within as fast as I could, it was a really, really good baseline, because it kind of talked about, you know, who went to jail for what, when, and, you know, when different movements were happening, not only in California, but across the nation, who was making those movements and how were they trying to get this plant legal again? And well, first off, how did it become illegal in the first place? And then how was it transformed to becoming legal? It was a really, really interesting read for anybody who wants to just learn a good Cliff Notes version of the cannabis industry. And as on the business side, I love How I Built This by NPR. It's one that I'm kind of addicted to. It's one of my favorites.
Mine too. I think that it's so great. I mean, like, that's with, I think, Guy Raz, and they just find the...
Yeah, I love Guy Raz.
Yeah, they just find... What I appreciate as an entrepreneur is the... they get these just epic success stories, but you see behind the scenes of just all of the... I'm picturing Shawshank Redemption crawling through... waste at the end of the movie, like all the stuff they have to crawl through to get to that success, and all the failure they face, and all the crazy shenanigans that go on under the hood. And for listeners, I'll add links to the Cannabis Manifesto and How I Built This, so you can check that out. What else? You know, I always like to leave the last couple minutes here a little bit more open-ended. What else have we not talked about that you want to make sure listeners know? That could be about your own career path, it could be about Cannacraft, it can be about the industry, but what have we not covered that's important for them to know?
I think it's important, and I did touch on it in the cannabis industry, just remember that it's not a set of the Cheech and Chong show, as much as people perceive it to be. It is so much more than that, and it's so much bigger than anybody even in this kind of craft building. Some people are making some really, really good movements on just research of how this one little plant could help the human race in general, and even animals. Like CBD in animals is actually becoming a pretty growing thing too. And I think those of us that went through the military, it was we had to abstain for so long, we just kind of it came off of our radar, but if you just do, you know, just give it a little bit of a chance and do some research, you can see that it's doing some pretty amazing things, and it's really kind of cool to be in the middle of it. And so if anybody is interested, they're more than welcome to contact me, and I'm sure you'll put links to my LinkedIn on the podcast. That'd be fine. And then whatever you want to do out of the military, just go for it. Networking, go for it. Networking is key. Just find someone who's in part of what you're interested in and just go for it.
I love it. I love that. And I think that you're embodying that too, because it's, yeah, I mean, it is whatever people want to go into, there is a path to get there. And I appreciate too how you're pointing out, like, it isn't just, this is not an industry of slacker, surfer, stoners. And, you know, on the one hand, if it were, great, that's even a bigger opportunity, right? Like, I would love that to be my competitive set, because it's like, if you go into this with discipline and tactics, you could clean up. But two, I agree with you, like, this industry has grown up significantly, and there are a lot of exceptionally smart, exceptionally savvy people who realize the opportunity that this presents and are moving significant resources to focus on that. And that is both financial, like you alluded to, the amount of investors pouring into the space, but also just the amount of intellect and horsepower going towards what this industry will grow up to. And that's one of the things I think is just exciting. It's like, I picture you, Shireen, as like someone on the beach seeing this massive wave coming, and you're at the forefront of just grabbing a surfboard and riding out to that and getting in front of it. And I think for listeners, it is a space that's growing rapidly, but it's not, you know, too far gone to join. You can still get in on this. I don't want to say gold rush, but you can get in on an opportunity that's going to continue to grow as legislation changes.
We jokingly call it the green rush.
That's awesome. Well, Shireen, I appreciate your time today. For listeners, I'll have links in the show notes to everything we discussed, as well as a link to Shireen's LinkedIn page. So you can message her if you like. And I appreciate your willingness to connect with listeners as they have questions.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our director of outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you can continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.